Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. If there's one thing that we desire, it's to have such a relationship with our Heavenly Father that people will say to us what Abimelech said to Abraham in Genesis 21:22 in the New Living Translation.
About this time, Abimelech came with Pichol, his army commander, to visit Abraham. God is obviously with you, helping you in everything you do, Abimelech said.
You know, if you and I live our lives in such a way that God is obviously with us, helping us in everything we do, now, that's a powerful way to live.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right, baby. Think what it means to have the creator of heaven and earth helping you in everything you do. The knowledge of his presence and his assistance should comfort and strengthen us. Well, even the most insecure among us. Here are five ways to get God's help in everything you do. Number one, giving to the poor with a willing heart.
Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do.
In that short verse, honey, there are three powerful points. First, we're to give generously. That means it's not jump change or leftovers, but to be a generous giver.
Proverbs 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The contemporary English version of Proverbs 11, 24 might be a little clearer. It says you can become rich by being generous or poor by being greedy.
Wow. How do we determine what giving generously means to us? It's simple. Ask God. He'll tell you. He'll tell us.
And he'll lead us as to who to give to.
That's exactly right. Second, the scripture says, that verse says, that we should not give grudgingly.
Deuteronomy 15, verse 10, in the King James Version says, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for which this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand into.
This translation says that we should not be grieved in our giving, which is more often translated as displeased. Here's how to make God happy in our giving.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, meaning you're feeling made to do it. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving.
Honey, I like to think that's how we are.
I'd like to think that too.
That we're cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it givers.
And enjoy giving.
Hallelujah.
Enjoy seeing other people blessed.
Amen. The best way to never give grudgingly is to know that if God tells you, if he tells you to give.
Amen.
That's all the motivation you need. And we should also remember Ephesians 6:8. Whatever good thing you cause to happen to someone else, God will do for you. That's an attitude changing, God blessing scripture, if there ever was one.
Amen.
Third, the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Not even the thought of God blessing me in everything I do. See, that thought is such a powerful, rich thought that it just fires me up, you know?
Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 in the New International Version says the scripture this way. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to.
The greatest thing about Deuteronomy 15:10 is the verse doesn't say God might or could bless you.
That's right.
It says he will bless you. That sounds like an absolute to us and fires up our most holy faith. We rejoice that the Deaf Free Army is involved in helping orphanages in Mexico, Ghana, and that we've been instrumental in building water wells in India. We praise God for that. And by your support of the Debt Free Army, you are part of that as well. Hallelujah. Pastor Bill Johnson, Bethel Church in Redding, California, who's an amazing man of God and author, said, God is extravagantly generous. And the life he has given us to experience on this planet is not a life of survival, but of abundance and blessing. Number two, don't charge interest to fellow believers. Don't charge interest to fellow believers. Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy 23:20 in the New Living Translation says, you may charge interest to foreigners, but you may not charge interest to Israelites, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land you are about to enter and occupy.
Why is this scripture so important? God hates evil, and debt is evil.
That's right. Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked.
You know, in reading this scripture, honey, several years ago, God showed me through that verse that debt is not only wrong, it's evil.
That's right.
How can I make such a bold statement? The definition of the word evil found in Strong's Concordance, it's H7451. H7451. And evil is defined as bad, unpleasant, evil, giving pain, unhappiness, and misery. Now, let me just tell you. Let us tell you. Debt is bad. Debt is unpleasant.
Yes.
Debt definitely gives pain. Debt absolutely brings unhappiness. And misery is a close friend of debt. Therefore, as the scripture says, if we love God, we should hate debt. The scripture is also clear that God hates financial slavery.
Proverbs 22:7 in the Contemporary English Bible says, the poor are ruled by the rich, and those who borrow are slaves of moneylenders.
I think this can help us understand a little better why God is so adamant about one believer not charging another believer interest. However, the scripture says that if you loan money to someone outside the faith, you can charge them interest. Now, that's an interesting thought. Obedience to this scriptural directive is another example of how the Lord our God will bless us in everything we do. I do believe that if a person were to loan you money without interest, you should bless them in some way for their generosity and kindness to you. Number three, obey instruction even when it's difficult. When you're facing a tough adversary, when the storms of life are swirling around you, when it seems like there's no way to make it, that defeat is inevitable. If you feel any of that, you need to remember the words of Joshua 1:7, Joshua 1:7, New Living Translation.
It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Now, obviously, it's not the instructions Moses gave you, but you know what? Doing the commands of the Lord and being careful and strong and courageous to stand on the word is going to bring us victory.
That's right. See, there's no conditional obedience to God's word. You either obey it or you don't. It's not a kind of sort of thing. But obedience to his word comes with immeasurable and never-ending benefits.
Deuteronomy 29, verse 9 in the New Living Translation says, "Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do."
However, and it's a big however, you can't do it on your own. You must allow God to help you.
Amen. Psalm 37.
Hold on a second.
I think we got confused here.
I think we did too. We skipped.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right.
All right.
Let's try again. Number four. Holiness is a lifestyle. That's one thing about live recording, isn't it?
That's it.
Some think it's too difficult to live a life of holiness. But the Word of God tells us that we must be holy. If it tells us that we must be holy, then it's doable as a lifestyle.
And the point of it is when we mess up, we fess up, we pray 1 John 1:9 and keep on going.
That's it.
And that happens. 1 Peter 1:15 in the New Living Translation says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy."
However, we can't do it on our own. We said that a moment ago.
That's right.
Maybe a little premature, but we got to allow God to help us.
That's right. Psalm 37, verse 5 in the New Living Translation says, "Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you."
There's a quote by Phil Robertson, the patriarch of the Doug Dynasty family, that I really like. He said, "I don't use any of the terminology like left wing or right wing. I use language like godly and holiness."
I like that.
That's a good quote. Number five, bring glory and honor to God. If you and I came with an owner's manual, it would no doubt say that priority number one, numero uno, is for us to do as our Creator does. We don't call the Bible an owner's manual. But essentially, that's what it is.
That's right. Ephesians 5, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. "Living the light, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children."
On a daily basis, you and I should desire that every step that we take, every word we speak, bring all glory and honor to God. Our concern should be to represent his godly character. Because we are his dear children.
That's right. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 in the New Living Translation says, "Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen."
Remember this. God will give you what you ask for, or something better. See, God absolutely wants to bless us in everything we do, but the choice is ours. Go to haroldherring.com, check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top, where it says, "Sow a seed, just ask God what seed to put in the ground." That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.